You're listening to a Get Serial podcast. If you'd like me this morning and you were tossing up bringing, you know, just a little bag and the big chunky jacket that, well, you know, worked really well with the outfit, maybe reset the outfit because it's going to get pretty warm out there. You're listening to Get Serial. My name is Bianca, and I am joined by the ever so wonderful Annabelle. And now, Annabelle, we have a very, very, very exciting show.
We do. I'm very excited about today. We have a special, I was going to say a special guest, but we have special guests, plural, coming into the studio today. They might even be performing a little number live on air. That's later on in the show, so stay tuned in. But it's going to be a really fun one today. I'm looking forward to it all.
Definitely. I will say that if you do want to keep up to date with anything we do, you check us out on Get Serial Sin on Instagram, where we post all sorts of stuff. We post little snippets from our interviews in case you miss them and you're not sure whether or not, you know, that person's all that interesting for you. That's fair enough. I get that. I don't listen to every interview that Sin puts up. I should, but I don't. So sometimes listening to the snippets helps me, you know, oh, I like what they're talking about. So check it out there. We also post the playlist in case you miss a song or you miss us name the song and you go, I really liked that one. Go check our playlist. Go give it a like, give it a share. Let people know what you're listening to.
I'll even say, if you check out the playlist, you can comment on the post, let us know what artists you've been enjoying from the list, and let us know which artists you'd like to hear next. That's how we find some of our music. Definitely. And it's fun to play music that we know have been specifically recommended to us to get your morning started.
And you might even be able to say hi to the actual artists themselves. So a couple artists do comment every now and then.
We do have the artists in the comment section, so definitely, it's a good place to, yeah, say hello, give us a bit of love, send the artist some love too.
But look, let's say you missed a show, which is fine. We understand it. You can go to our podcast realm, Get Serial Sin on Spotify, Apple Omni, and Google Podcasts. Go check them out where you can hear previous episodes, previous interviews, and all sorts over there. So go check that one out. And as well, look, we'll keep plugging it, but who knows if we'll ever post there again. You will only know if you check it out.
We are going to be posting on TikTok. It is my I'm making a vow. I've got my hand in the hair, other hand on my heart. We will post on TikTok, but only if you specifically follow us.
Well, TikTok's going to need us because we'll talk about it a little bit later, but there's going to be a lot less people on TikTok very soon. But with that, we're going to dive directly into the rest of the show. And before we do, sometimes things do get difficult and we do have helplines available for those who may need them. Annabelle, do you have those ones at the ready?
I do. So if you need to talk to anyone, you can reach Beyond Blue at 1300 224 636. You can phone the Kids Helpline at 1800 55 1800. And the QLife helpline is accessible at 1800 184 527. I say it every week, but as always, they're incredible resources. There's no shame in reaching out and look after yourself and look after others.
Definitely check them out. But with that, we are going to dive into our first song for tonight. And this is one that I actually didn't choose. No, I did choose even.
I was going to say.
Completely incorrect. Here is Shape of My Heart by Dan Avidan and the Super Guitar Bros. Now, if you're thinking, I might recognize that name, you might. Dan Avidan is half of Ninja Sex Party, one third of Starbomb, one half, again, of Game Grumps, and is a wonderful comedian, actor, musician, and so much more. Go check him out. And if you're into what you're going to hear here, you know, your laid-back acoustic sounds, I would definitely suggest checking out more of the Super Guitar Bros because that's all they do and it's so, so good. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Here is Shape of My Heart by Dan Avidan and the Super Guitar Bros.
That was Arcadia by Rue Paines, an English folk singer, songwriter and model who kind of got his claim to fame from a Burberry commercial, actually, in 2014, which, interestingly, when he signed to Burberry, he also signed a music contract with them. I did not realize they released music. But that's a little tidbit for you. Before that, you heard Shape of My Heart by Dan Avidan and the Super Guitar Bros. So both very lovely tracks to kind of get us started in a nice, calm way, I'd say. We're going to amp it up as the hours go on. But you know what we need to amp up as well? The news segment. We want to know what's been going on. We took a bit of a little mid-season break last week.
And yeah, you know, needed a little step away. Get a little bit busy in the mornings.
Exactly. But now we're back and we need to get back into the news. What's been going on in Melbourne and the wider world?
So I'm going to start off with one that I think affects a lot of us, actually. And especially if you don't use it, it still affects you. TikTok is very likely to be banned in the US in the upcoming weeks. So it has actually passed its first bill signing in Congress, meaning that it is one signing away, so one meeting away from being completely banned throughout the country. And this is coming from a really interesting push for much, much stronger laws when it comes to identification and I guess just a push for more privacy. But it's also, I should mention, the TikTok ban in particular is also steeped in a lot of racial ignorance and a lot of outright racism and really not understanding or giving Asian cultures as a whole a chance to not be seen as, let's say, evil in some eyes.
Yeah, I think for how it's been handled has not been good.
No.
I think, like, there are, I understand, legitimate security concerns because, for example, if your app is made in China, the Chinese government can actually get all that data, which, look, I grew up in Hong Kong. I understand why that is not necessarily the best thing. But the way it's being handled and the way individual people are being talked to about this, who aren't even Chinese, by the way, are just assuming, based off their looks, that they are Chinese and these are, like, US government officials, is really horrible. That is definitely being dealt with in a very kind of racist way, I would say. It's just blatantly racism.
Yeah, it definitely does have a lot of racism behind it. But, you know, we'll move away from TikTok for a little bit because we might talk about that later down the track in a couple of weeks' time if it actually gets banned.
Definitely. But, look, kind of staying in the world of phones, let's say, not my best segue, but about 740,000 Australians may be unable to dial 000 with the 3G network shutdown, the government warns. So Australia's major telcos have been called to address concerns that the upcoming shutdown of 3G networks could leave 740,000 4G customers unable to dial 000. So while we are switching over from 3G to 4G, this actually, overall, it's a good thing. We're going to get faster speeds. But the federal government believes that customers with certain 4G handsets may unknowingly think that they'll be able to call 000, but have their 4G devices unaffected, as certain 4G handsets that are bought overseas and brought into Australia have been found to be configured to rely on 3G for 000 calls, despite making the rest of their calls on 4G. So it's a bit of an interesting one. The Australian government is asking that the telcos step in and make sure that everyone will be able to still phone 000, because obviously bit of a safety risk if people can't phone.
No, totally. We live in, obviously, a very fire-heavy country, a very fire-heavy state.
Look, you need to be able to call 000.
If you're out in the country and you have an older folk out there who, you know, might not be aware of this or isn't sure about things like this, let them know. Maybe encourage them. Might be now a good time to go buy a new phone.
Yeah, there are sales on. Actually, I would say, mid-season sales. Go pick up a phone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Make sure you can phone 000. Look after yourself.
Look after yourself the best you can. Moving on from that, though. So an Iceland volcano has erupted, prompting evacuations in the Blue Lagoon. So Iceland's famous Blue Lagoon and the nearby town, Grindavik, were
evacuated.
That's the one. On Saturday, following a volcanic eruption in the country's Reykjanes Peninsula, and Iceland's public broadcaster RVU reported that this was a bit more unexpected than they thought it would be. So lava appeared to be flowing rapidly towards the north of the town, and it did so after the eruption on February 8th even.
Sorry, I'll just step in. I've written it confusingly. It went to the same town that it did in the February 8th eruption, but this is the new eruption.
Ah, my bad. And while it was surprising, Iceland is also pretty known for its volcanic eruptions, so it's not too surprising. But look, if you're flying up to Iceland,
take me with you.
Yeah, we'll go with you. But just be aware of it, you know. It has been closed, the actual lagoon, for about a week afterwards. But look, it should be opening soon. Keep an eye out. And if you're flying up, just be careful. Volcanic ash can easily cancel a flight.
Yeah, definitely. And it is worth saying that actually in November they closed it for a week because 1,400 earthquakes were just measured in 24 hours. So there's a lot of earthquakes going on there.
I freak out when I hear one.
Yeah. You know, Melburnians would not survive because if you remember any of the earthquakes we've had, we like to make a big deal out of it. We wouldn't have enough memes for 1,400. But dozens of runners, just moving on, have finished Samantha Murphy's last jog in her memory. With almost 100 Victorians uniting to run and walk for the last 7 kilometres that the Ballarat East mother Samantha Murphy planned to run before her life was tragically cut short. The large group of runners, predominantly women, also set off at 7 a.m. and covered the same route that Murphy was believed to have run in her honour. The event co-organiser Melanie Tudball said the gathering was also about supporting the grieving community whilst combating any fear of going out running. Despite police charging Patrick Stevenson with Murphy's alleged murder, her body still has not been found, and the 22-year-old remains behind bars and will face court in August.
Definitely. Moving on from that, climate protesters have been arrested during a Melbourne CBD blockade. So the climate change protesters, the same ones that we talked about I believe 2 weeks ago now, have been arrested in Melbourne CBD after staging a sit-in blockade of Flinders Street Station. A week of protests in Melbourne streets have culminated with a march on Saturday, with the group demanding federal government declare a climate emergency. Shortly after they arrived, police began to arrest members of the group who were sitting in the middle of the intersection, and around roughly 300 people were in the protest in front of Flinders Street. The police said 32 people have been arrested during the blockade, and of those, 27 people will be charged on summons with obstruction of a road. It is worth mentioning as well, in that group that has been arrested was the last person arrested for the previous blockade on the Westgate Freeway, and she was let out on bail with the only stipulation being that she could not block traffic. Immediately went to go block it again.
You know what?
You got to admire the tenacity.
Yeah, tenacity, that's a good word. But this is a bit of a shorter one, but it's very interesting to me. So sock problems delayed a Chelsea versus Arsenal Women's Soccer League match by half an hour. So a Women's Soccer League match between Chelsea and Arsenal kicked off 30 minutes late due to clashing socks. Both teams turned up for the warm-up in white socks, which forced the Gunners to dash to the mega store nearby to buy a different colour after the ref objected. They re-emerged onto the pitch about half an hour later in black socks, and all was well. The only explanation, because there's not that much context I could find on this, is that I assume if you're a ref, you want different players, like different teams, to be wearing different socks, because if everyone's kind of tangled up and they're kicking the ball, it's hard to know whose foot belongs to who. I did not know that soccer players have to wear different coloured socks, apparently, at least in England. But there you go. I bet you didn't think that even major teams had to go to the megastore to buy things last minute to play proper matches. Yeah,
definitely. I'll bounce off it. I don't have a proper news article written up for it, but with the Sam Kerr incident, obviously Sam Kerr, big Matildas player and playing up there, and probably would have been a part of that game, actually, if this hadn't have happened. Sam Kerr may face, or will be going to court to face, a possible 6-month jail term for her, I'm going to say quote-unquote, because I do not agree with the idea of it, possible racial outburst.
I just have to say, I mean, I don't want to say there's no way, because stranger things have happened, but if Sam Kerr has to go to jail for 6 months, that's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard, and I think we should focus on real.
And she would miss the Olympics because of it.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous. It would just be a case of penalising someone to make a point.
Mentioning there is a precedent for this not going through. So fingers crossed, and we'll keep you up to date on Sam Kerr.
Yeah. Well, talking about people who, you know, are in legal trouble, an alligator twice the size of a man was seized after being kept illegally in a home since the 1990s. So environmental officers in New York seized the 340-kilogram, 11-foot-long alligator called Albert from a home south of Buffalo, where they found a swimming pool for the 30-year-old gator. According to the State Department of Environmental Conservation, the homeowner allowed people, including children, to get into the water with the reptile and swim regularly, which had blindness in both eyes and spinal complications. But his owner, Tony Cavallaro has promised to fight for Albert's return. So stay updated. I will say he actually kept him legally until 2021 when his license expired. I didn't know you could have a license for an alligator.
That's like saying, yes, I was driving legally until I had my license revoked.
True, but I guess when you hear, I just kind of assumed it had never been legal to keep an 11-foot alligator in your swimming pool.
Oh, stranger things have happened.
That is true.
Moving on from this to something that isn't strange is our choice of song for our playlist today. We have a very wonderful song by Koala, spelt K-A-W-A-L-A. Wonderful spelling of that. They are an indie British folk band from North London. Here is Back of My Hand by Koala. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard an incredible song. That was May 9th by Krungbin, and they are an incredible musical trio from America, and that song is from their album, Allah Salah. That's a wonderful thing to say. I would definitely suggest it. It is spelt A-L-A-S-A-L-A. Wonderful. Easy to remember. Check it out if you do. I've been listening to a little bit more of them because that was the only song I knew of them until about last week. And the sound is so relaxing. It's so just like mellow out. Imagine like this is the song you wanted to go do study to as a kid. This is it. This is the study playlist. Before that, though, was Back of My Hand by Koala, who I said before was a British indie folk band from North London. Two very, very good bands and two very, very good songs. So with that, we're going to dive into talking about, well, some other very, very good stuff. And some of that can be found in Melbourne, of all places.
We've got a lot going on in good old Melbourne, I will say. And now that it's a new month, we kind of time to check back in, get your calendar out, get your pens out, and we've got a few things for you to jot down.
Definitely.
So one of the things we've got going on, it's actually going on now as we speak until the 24th of March, is Photo 2024, the International Festival of Photography. So the award-winning biennial Photo 2024 features 100 free exhibitions and outdoor artworks to explore across 7 festival precincts in Melbourne, as well as 5 cities in regional Victoria. The theme this year is The Future is Shaped by Those Who Can See It, and Photo's 2024's expansive program invites audiences to discover the possible and parallel futures that lie ahead, and how current actions are shaping future realities. The festival will be celebrating 3 icons of photography, Nan Golden, Malik Sidibe, and Rennie Ellis, and features over 150 contemporary photographers and artists from Australia and around the world. So definitely check it out. It is free, and there's a lot of fun photo walks you can do around the city. I know there's a really good one in Collingwood. Enjoy it. Get some culture in.
Definitely have a look at that one. But maybe you're thinking, you know, don't really want to go see some photos. I want to have a good laugh. Well,
I wouldn't say a laugh for this one.
You wouldn't say a laugh?
No, it's at the Comedy Theatre.
See, but that's what got me.
There you go, I had it. That was on me. Is that the Comedy Theatre? But it's more of a drama. It's Gaslight, which is running until the 24th of March.
So you managed to gaslight me with that title.
You know what? That's very good. It was all on purpose. There you go.
But the young, trusting and fragile Bella Manningham thinks she is losing her mind. In the evenings, she hears strange noises in the sitting room. Gas lamps dim for no apparent reason. Is Bella's loving relationship with her partner Jack all that it seems?
Ooh.
Patrick Hamilton's 1938 play introduced us to the powerful term we now use today as an insidious form of deception and manipulation. Please check this out. For this liberating adaptation by Jonna Wright and Patty Jameson, which premiered on the 2022 Shaw Festival, is a gripping, reimagined thriller of daring and doubt, with all the hallmarks of Victorian Gothic refreshed with intriguing new insights. Go check out Gaslight. It'll be at the Comedy Theatre until the 24th of March. It sounds wonderful.
It is meant to be incredible. I was very sad because I was meant to go see it and I couldn't.
Oh, but no!
Go watch it because maybe you'll see me there. We'll have a little Get Serial reunion in the audience.
Exactly.
But somewhere else we could have a reunion is at the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, which is also running until the 24th of March. That just seems to be a date that everyone likes to run to. So it's returning with its annual jam-packed program from March 15th to March 24th, featuring a star-studded lineup of chefs from Australia and around the world. There'll be local food heroes and special dining experiences for the public. It's a full-throated celebration of Melbourne's food and drink scene. And one of the things I'm most excited to check out is Dan's Diner. I love this so much. They are only hiring well-known chefs called Dan to cook for Dan's Diner. It's in collaboration with Dan Murphy's. I was going to say Dan Andrews. He does not own a liquor company, as far as I know.
He could join, though.
He could. If he wants to be a chef, you might find him at Dan's Diner. I'm looking forward to checking that one out. That's going to be in Fed Square.
I can actually give it a bit of a heads up. I've been there for work a couple years ago. Fantastic. There is so much amazing free samples and food there for you to try. Don't miss out. It's so good.
Something else that you're not going to want to miss out on is Not Natural, which is running at the Science Gallery Melbourne from Wednesday to Saturday from now until June 29th. So Not Natural explores the daring question of the future. How far will humanity's meddling of nature go? And will we still find ourselves on top of the food chain when we're done? So experience speculative local and international projects dissolving the line between what is considered natural and not natural. Curiosity, amusement, disgust. The Science Museum invites you to look closely at your reactions and the thoughts behind them. In a world that's always hiring towards tech-based solutions, pause and consider where you stand. Are we redesigning evolution, or is evolution redesigning us? And just because we can, should we? It's free admission. Go check it out. It's going to be a very interesting one. It might kind of scare you, but it's good to be scared every once in a while.
You know what? Yeah, get the brain going a little bit. If you want to get the brain going, though, you can do so with Leonardo da Vinci. So 500 Years of Genius is at the Loom in Melbourne until the 16th of June. Look, if you haven't been to the Loom, go to the Loom. The Loom is fantastic. It's like, bit of a hint for anyone out there. It's a great date idea.
It is. I can back that up.
It's a very good date idea. So the Italian polymath, painter, inventor, and astounding genius, Leonardo da Vinci, is obviously one of the most celebrated artists and scientists of all time. So Leo, 500 Years of Genius, will feature massive projections of some of the world's most famous works of art, including the Mona Lisa, the Last Supper, and so many more. These four-story high projections will showcase Da Vinci's breathtaking Renaissance paintings in a way that is so much more accessible than just a trip to the Louvre.
I do that one. I just fly over.
And alongside his visually stunning artworks, this exhibition will also focus on his excellence as an inventor, where that is far beyond his era. His pioneering work in architecture and engineering had laid the foundation for technology as we know it today. And that's why, alongside his art, the exhibition will also feature groundbreaking inventions from his recreated to scale by Italian artisans, including the flying machine concepts that predate human flight by more than 400 years. That's pretty impressive.
It's going to be amazing. It's definitely one I'll be checking out. And as Bianca said, Loom always does incredible exhibitions. They were the ones who did Vincent van Gogh and who did the BBC Earth Experience. They're so good. You can't even understand the scale of it until you go check it out. It's an incredible date, or it's an incredible, like, even a solo activity. I think it's a good one to do.
Definitely. If you're in the city, why not? They're never that expensive, actually.
They're worth the money.
Definitely. Something that I personally think is worth the money, if you're in Melbourne, is the ever so wonderful AFL. So I'm just going to read off some matches happening this week. Maybe you should go check them out. I'm going to get there eventually. On Thursday the 21st, we have St Kilda versus Collingwood. Can Collingwood overcome their their premiership hangover? And can St Kilda continue to impress and maybe get the win that I think they deserved last week? Adelaide had a shocking loss last week, and Geelong had a bit of a scrape by win against St Kilda. Check them out at the Adelaide Oval if you're having a look there. After that, you can check out North Melbourne and Fremantle on Saturday, where, you know, North, they look like they could be doing pretty well, and Freo just knocked off Brisbane in a shock win. Hawthorn and Melbourne both look good at the moment. Melbourne has a lot to prove, and Hawthorn has a lot to prove as well. Check them out as well. I should mention North and Freo happening at Marvel. The MCG will be hosting Hawthorn Melbourne. Sydney and Essendon are both coming off impressive wins against good teams. Go check them out at the SCG, 7:30 on that Friday, on that Saturday even. The Western Bulldogs will then face the Gold Coast Suns on Sunday at Mars Stadium in Ballarat, if you're down in the country. Go check it out. Maybe the charging Suns, who, I gotta say, I'm a Collingwood fan. I'm very impressed with these Suns all of a sudden. And the Western Bulldogs, who look not as impressive. If that's not your case, you can go check out some of the other games. You've also got Richmond versus Port and West Coast versus GWS. One at the MCG and one at Optus. So go check it out. Go enjoy it. I'll see you at one of those games. Here is our next song. It is a very, very good song. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin. Here is Mr. Bassman by Sound Lush. You heard two fantastic songs. They were the ever, ever, ever so wonderful
Cherry Wine by Brent Perez, who is from Sydney. Makes it very lovely music. You just want to get some cherry wine out too and just boogie, I would say. And before that, we heard Mr. Bassman by Sondre Lerche, who is a Norwegian, you know, singer, producer. He's very cool. That was actually from Muppets, the Green album. And it's just such a good way to get another little boogie in. It's been, yeah, it's been a fun little musical break, I would say.
Definitely been a bit of a fun one. But, of course, we're going to go into some more fun, because that's what we're all about here at Get Cereal, is fun, fun, fun. And guess what?
We've got a bit more fun coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe you're talking about conspiracy theories.
We are. I will say I take this very seriously. This is maybe breaking news in my mind at all times.
Definitely broke the news.
It broke the news. So, Bianca, what do you know about the conspiracies of Kate Middleton?
So, I'm going into this fairly blind. What I do know, though, is it stems from a picture that was released. A picture that was released originally to let people know that she was okay after a surgery. However, that picture, after being released, was very quickly taken back and blacklisted by most, if not all, media outlets. And the only real reason that pictures get blacklisted like that is if they're photoshopped heavily or if they're, you know, a bit too gruesome for news. This was photoshopped very, very heavily.
It was not very well done. So you're entirely right. The newest kind of round of conspiracies have come from this photo. To kind of catch people up who are not chronically online, A, good for you. B, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You're about to be. But basically, in kind of early January, the Palace put out a statement saying that Kate was going to go under surgery and she wouldn't be seen until after Easter. This already kind of raised a few flags because it was very mysterious the way they'd been dealing with it. They just asked for privacy. That was it. And then there were a few other things that kind of raised alarms. For example, William the other day put out a statement saying he wouldn't be attending his godfather's funeral, which is already obviously an interesting one. But he used stationery that he hadn't used since before he and Kate got married. Normally they use one that says from Will and Kate and it's like a combined stationery. This was just from Will. That kind of raised some alarms. And then this photo came out because everyone is getting very suspicious about the missing Kate and how basically secretively they're treating Kate's illness versus the King, who has cancer and they've been very public about. So basically they put out this photo to be like, see, happy Mother's Day. Also, Kate's so fine. You can tell here she's fine, which they then had to walk back because there was so much Photoshop in the photo. And
the
people,
standout bits of Photoshop, for those who have used Photoshop, is they just straight up used an image of her from Vogue for her face. They used They moved around the kids. They were likely not in the photo.
It was like a heavy amount of Photoshop. It was very strange.
There were like mangled hands and mangled fingers. It looks like AI.
I was going to say, it's very AI core. But there have been some really fun conspiracies. There have been some less fun conspiracies, but those are not fun to talk about. I don't like those. What I do like are some of my favourite netizens' takes on why Kate has disappeared. Before I give you my favourites, Bianca, what's your guess? Why has Kate gone under the radar?
Do you want the serious answer or you want the funny answer?
Let's say funny.
So I think it's simply a matter of she doesn't want to be out anymore.
But me neither. She's taking a break. A little siesta.
She's literally on holiday. She's just away on holiday. She's probably down here.
She's hit Do Not Disturb.
She walked past you in Melbourne this morning and you didn't realise because you're seeing photoshopped images of her. And
you're never like, known what she looks like.
Exactly. You think she's looking like she always does in Vogue.
I will say that is, you know, I think you could be onto something because some people have said that the amount of time that Kate is going to be away from cameras turns out to be the exact amount of time you need to recover from a BBL or a Brazilian butt lift. So people are thinking maybe Kate's the next Kardashian. Her name does start with a K. So, you know, it's a good little hint. Other people are proposing maybe she cut her own bangs. We all know this doesn't go well. She could be hiding. Some other of my favourite theories.
They could afford a royal barber.
They could. Other theories include, has Kate entered the Princess Protection Program with Demi Lovato? It's an option. Is she on The Masked Singer? Did Charles and Kate have a Freaky Friday moment, which is why both of them are kind of lying low right now? Was Kate the one behind the immersive Willy Wonka Glasgow experience and now she's hiding from the law? And as Lucy, or LMAO says no, says on X or Twitter if you are more normal, Lucy says, not a single Banksy since Kate Middleton disappeared. Coincidence? So maybe, you know, Banksy, Kate, maybe they're one and the same.
I'll throw another one out there. I think there is a possibility. Anyone who's been following the royals for the funny parts will know that there has been on payroll a royal potion maker.
I did not know.
Only recently had to do some stuff because, for those who don't know, Charles doesn't believe in modern medicine. So the royal potion maker has come out. I think there's a chance we have a Princess and the Frog situation.
I think you're right. If there's an increase in frogs, we know why. One of them is Kate Middleton. That is such... I did not know that. That is actually my favourite part of today already.
I'd love to get an interview with the potion... with the royal potion maker. It's a good paying gig from what I hear.
Oh, God. That'd be amazing. It'd also be a little bit stressful making potions for the royal family because, look, as someone who
hasn't had to do anything for years.
True. But as someone who last dabbled in potion making as, like, an 8-year-old who would combine all of my mum's very expensive toiletries together, it's one thing for me to do that. It's another to, like, maybe accidentally kill a royal family member with a potion. You'd want to get those, like, you want to make sure you were doing really well.
I wonder who trained him. Who trained him in potion making in the modern day?
I assume that he has lived since the 1500s, or she, or they. I assume this potion maker has just been around since the 1500s and learned directly from, the mages.
Fair. Well, let us know your favourite potions on our Instagram, Get Serial Sin. And you know what? We might try them. So definitely let us know. There is no promises there. I'll be completely honest with you there. We're going to go into our next song. And just like this conspiracy theory, we can't get enough. Here is Can't Get Enough by Betty Taylor. You're listening to the ever so wonderful Get Serial on Sin. Enjoy. Tristam with questions. And if you've got questions about who Tristam is, I've got good news for you because I have the answer. Tristam is a Canadian electronic musician and singer, songwriter, producer, and more. He did originally work with the ever-so-famous-slash-infamous Monster Cat, and he's then reached out and done his own stuff, and I think it's wonderful. If you liked what you heard then, I definitely suggest diving a little bit further in. And before that, you heard Can't Get Enough by Betty Taylor, who are a dreamy four-piece band from the Sunshine Coast. Now, they supported Girl in Red and this song, released in Feb of 2024. Go check it out if you enjoyed their sound. But you are listening to Get Serial on Sin, the best radio station on the air, let's be real. If you think there's a better station out there, I'm sorry. You're wrong. Just outright wrong. But we have heaps to get into. Firstly, if you want to keep up to date with anything Get Serial, you can do so at Get Serial Sin on Instagram. You can also do so at Get Serial Sin on all of our podcast platforms. Maybe you missed an episode and you want to check it out. Maybe you missed an interview and you want to check it out. The best place to do that is Get Serial Sin on Omni FM, Google Podcasts even. Omni FM again, you can go check it out twice. Google Podcasts again, Apple Podcasts, or you can check it out on Spotify. Check it out, enjoy it, let us know what you think. And of course, if you do want to check out some more video content, you can do so on our TikTok, Get Serial Sin. And again, let us know what you think. We have a whole bunch coming up for you. We actually have a wonderful interview with a wonderful musician who's in our green room warming up at the moment. So do keep an ear out for that one. That's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to give us some live performances as well. I can see them singing and playing guitar right now. That's a bit of a hint as to what's coming up. But we're also going to dive into some other stuff as well, maybe just after that. We're going to dive into discussing an interesting quote by Charlie XCX, and one that I think deserves to be looked at quite deeply. I'm going to play it and then we'll go into our next songs. Let me know what you think about this. This is part of a Subway Takes interview, which is on TikTok. Let us know.
So what's your take?
Music is not important.
Music is not important? 100% disagree. Wait, why?
Well, the thing is, artistry is important, and some artists don't have artistry.
Some artists don't have artistry.
For me, it's like...
So, I want to dive into that and what that means and how we feel about that in particular. It's a bit of an interesting one, but with that, we're going to dive into something even more interesting, which is our next wonderful, wonderful song. It is Tightrope by Maroki, a Kenyan, New Zealand-based reggae musician. You're listening to Get Serial, the best radio station in the world, on Sin.
Welcome back, everyone. You just heard the incredible Vacant by Mannerism, who we'll be talking to in just a second now. But before that, you heard Tens by Nick Griffith and Tightrope by Maroki, who are both part of our 7-Day Sweet 16 playlist last week. So if you're liking what you're hearing, definitely go check out the Sunday Sweet Show, running every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m., because they've always got the best of the new music that's coming out that's going to kind of end your week in style. But talking about the best new music coming out, I'm really excited because, Bianca, today we are joined in studio by 1/5 of my favourite Melbourne kind of dreamy indie pop band, Mannerism. We've got Shaz in the studio today to talk about Make It Right, the band's latest single that came out early March, as well as kind of what it's like to be in the band and the creative process that goes along with it. So welcome in, Shaz. How are
thanks
you?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm very well, thanks.
Yeah. How are you feeling today? Are you ready to kind of get into it?
Pretty good. Caffeinated and ready to go.
That is the number one most important thing. Caffeine on a breakfast show is crucial.
Yep.
Speaking of kind of breakfast things, we are a breakfast show. What's your favourite kind of way to get your breakfast in the morning?
It's an interesting question. I'm probably... I'll go for the classics, I think. So a good old Crunchy Nut or Cocoa Pops is like my go-to.
That's your classic.
Yeah, that's the classic.
It's a good one. It's a good, like, sweet way to get your morning started.
Yes, it is very sweet.
It's sweet, but it's good. It was my treat when I went to my grandma's house, so I'm very pro this. Yes. This is a good answer.
Yep.
And we're going to throw a few questions at you quickly just to get you warmed up. Mm-hmm. If Mannerism could make the soundtrack to any movie, what would the movie be?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think some sort of coming of age story, maybe something by who's that director that does all those arty movies, the Grand Budapest Hotel?
And Wes
Anderson. Maybe something like that.
I could see that.
Maybe, yeah, that's probably the right vibe.
I think coming of age is very, very on point for the music that Mannerism's making. And a few more questions in that vein. Mm. If Mannerism had a mascot, what would it be?
A mascot? That's a good one. I don't know. It's maybe like, I think we're all really relaxed kind of people.
Yeah.
So something like a lizard or a snake that just like sort of basks in the sun all day. I think that's very much our vibe. And then, you know, sleeps most of the day. That's that's very much who we are. So, yeah, I think something like that.
That's one we haven't had before. I like that answer. Okay. That's a good one. And if you could collaborate with any musician, living or dead, who would it be?
Ooh, I think our favourite band is The War on Drugs. And I think we'd love to get produced by them or by Adam. I know he's done a few things. I think he did The Killers' last album. So something like that would just be an incredible dream. So, yeah, he's definitely top of the list.
Perfect. So if Adam's listening and you have space in your calendar,
come to Melbourne.
Sort it out. Perfect. So I've seen it said online that you've got five people in your band. Mm-hmm. This is not said. This is known fact. But you've all played in different arrangements before coming together as a band. How did you all meet? What was the process?
Yeah, so I guess we all grew up together in the southeast suburbs, and we were friends at school. We sort of played in different groups. So I started playing with High, the drummer, first. So I've probably been playing with him for probably maybe almost 12, 15 years or something. And, after school finished, we actually sort of brought the dream team together out of all of us friends and started, like, putting together some music. But we probably only started taking it really seriously maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. And that's when we brought in Simon, the new guitarist, and... since then, it sort of felt more like the real deal. So it's been a journey, but yeah, all the guys are great and just great to work with, and yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it must be so lovely getting to kind of play alongside your childhood friends. And,
it is.
Yeah, friends new and old. That's amazing.
Yeah, it just feels like sort of an extension of our friendship, which is the best, I think.
That's so lovely. Yeah. That's great. And where did you get the name Mannerism from?
So our drummer used to live next to a retirement facility called The Manor. And we called ourselves The Manor for years. And then we've heard that there was another band in Melbourne of the same name. And so it was just getting way too confusing. So we had recorded our first EP and we just couldn't put it out until we changed our name. And then we just added an ism. That was just how it went.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's original, I guess, we thought that that'd be the easiest. So, yeah.
I like that. I was searching up mannerism to see if there were any words, and it came up with a feudal system, and I was like, maybe you're really into feudal, you know, lore and farming.
I like it.
So, yeah, I like the other answer, though, of the manor.
Yes.
And that's how it got started.
That's right.
And so what's it like working with the band? What's your creative process like? Because obviously there are five of you. That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Do you have your own roles? Or?
Yeah, I think so. Probably in the recent years, I probably come up with the first sort of cut of an idea.
Yeah.
And then take it to the guys, and everyone sort of has their own role in sort of breaking the song down and taking good bits and trying to, you know, finish the song. So it's probably the first demo from me, and then it sort of goes through the machine, and we play it out quite a lot and make sure it feels good when we're playing it, and we'll probably take it and play it at a few shows first as well. That's when we know, like, whether it works or not. And then only after that, I think the song's really done. And then we can take it to the studio. And probably it takes its own life in the studio as well. So it's probably this whole sort of iterative process. It takes time, but it's always worth it.
Yeah. It's amazing. And kind of on that note as well, I've seen that mannerism is made up of first and second generation immigrants. How does everyone's different cultural backgrounds impact the music?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, I mean, we don't necessarily play, music that's from our cultures or anything like that. I guess we were probably one of the first generations that was raised by the internet. So we had, like, although we were all, you know, growing up here with parents from different countries, you know, we were listening to MySpace music and all of that sort of thing. So we had the benefit of that. But also, I guess the culture aspect comes in more into our upbringing. And, you know, growing up where we grew up, we had a lot of time to do music, really. You know, there's not much going on. So I think all of that has sort of led us to, I guess, the tone and the ethos of the music that we play is sort of introspective and, melancholic.
Yeah, that's great. Yep. And we are actually going to hear one of these songs very shortly, in fact, after the sentence. But your song is called Make It Right. Mm-hmm. It came out March 1st, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
Can you tell us what inspired the song before we...
Yeah, so a bunch of the songs from the from this EP are sort of about just trying to stay present. So that's what Make It Right's about, sort of a reflection of... you know, the last few years and just trying to, be more present and make sure that you're in it while you're there and, you know, not missing the moment for just worrying about the future or something that happened. So, yeah, that's kind of the essence of the song.
Yeah, it's a great message. I know I'm someone who really falls into the trap of kind of forgetting the present moment, mm-hmm. looking into the future. So it's a great song. We're going to be hearing Make It Right live on air in just a minute, performed by Shaz, who's 1/5 of the band Mannerism. You're listening to Get Serial. This is Shaz from Mannerism playing Make It Right.
Thank you.
It's been a little hard for us to keep in time. I know the consequence of my reluctance. I've been trying to keep it together, and I know I can be better for you now. Don't you know I'm trying? And I know it's been unforgivable, but I'm present half the time. What happens and what comes next is all that I can seem to think about. So tell me, you can take me from this feeling now. I know that you're trying, and I know it's been a little hard this year. Don't you know that I'm trying to make it right? Time's moving faster than I knew last year. Don't you know that I'm trying to make it
so much for playing that for us today.
No
it's really
worries.
Great having some live music in studio.
Thank you.
And it's a great song. It's got us all like dancing. We're ready to kind of start the day with that.
Great. Thank you.
As you said, it was called Make It Right. Mm-hmm. Just came out in March and you had a release party for
yes.
it, didn't you?
Yes,
what was
did.
That like?
It was awesome. It was a really good show and good turnout. We had it at the Retreat in Brunswick,
yeah.
which is a great venue with a great sound system and sort of one of those venues that I feel like is probably on the up a little bit. So it was a really great show, really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And I've kind of read online that you've described the song as evoking the feeling of like a summer past. Mm-hmm. How do you go about trying to get that atmosphere into a song and trying to convey that emotion?
Yeah. I think probably what we've done a lot, and I think what we've done to sort of make our sound try to make it unique, is we use quite a lot of synth and our guitar tones. I think we're very intentional. So through using those sort of primary two elements, I feel like we can sort of do the dreamy aspect of the music. So and maybe even the nostalgic sort of aspect. So I think that's pretty intentional. Our sound selection when it comes to those sorts of things, we're pretty pretty intentional about it. So I think that's probably how we do it.
Yeah, that's great. And look, I just wanted to go back a little bit in time. I know you've been playing with each other for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Make It Right is kind of an evolution of your music? Do you think you've changed much as artists since you started out?
Yeah, definitely. We've changed a lot. I think we've sort of, for us, I think it wasn't like our sound came, you know, in the first rehearsal. So we tried a lot of different genres. We sort of have a home studio. We just tinkered with so many different types of music for years and years. And it was probably a process of elimination of, oh, that's not really us and that's not really us, to finally get us to probably the latest body of music, which, or maybe even the last 2 or 3 years, where it feels really cohesive and feels like we know what we're doing. So probably a lot more confident in ourselves and what we're trying to do. So yeah, it's taken a while, and Make It Right's probably one of those songs where we've got the right sound that we're wanting to portray, and for sure.
Yeah, it must feel amazing kind of seeing all these like kind of these years of work kind of come together in this great song.
Yep.
Do you have any other projects that are coming out this year? Yes. That we're allowed to know about?
Yes, you are. So we are putting out some more music from our upcoming EP, which is exciting. So we're sort of in the process of mixing and finishing everything. We're planning on a tour later on this year. So we'll figure out when all of that sort of works with the other songs that are coming out. But before all that, I think we're wanting to get back in the studio when we can to record some new ones, because we've sort of been labouring over the old ones for some time now. We sort of need a little bit more energy, you know, and I think we'll do that if we get back in the studio. So, yeah, a lot more to come.
That's really exciting. That's great. And speaking of a tour that might be happening, who's your dream headliner? If you could have anyone.
Ooh, probably locally. If we could have anyone, our favourite band, although they're not together anymore, City Calm Down. We were a huge fan of them back in the day. Great Melbourne band that, you know, we just look up to. So, such a great sound. Really sad that they broke up. But if we could jump on tour with them, that would be a dream.
Yep. Beautiful. I reckon we can make it happen. They'll have a reunion as your headliner. I think it'd be a great show. Get it sorted.
One can dream. Yep.
Definitely. And if people want to follow along with Mannerism's journey, mm-hmm. where can we find you?
So wherever you get your music, you can listen in Spotify, Apple Music. You can follow us on Instagram, Mannerism Band.
Yeah, beautiful. So there's all good ways to kind of follow along with your journey.
For sure.
And look, not to put you on the spot here, mm-hmm. but is there anything you think would surprise the listeners to know about Mannerism? Is there any secrets in the band?
Secrets? Secrets is probably that we all have pretty regular day jobs, that we all just, you know, we're in some semi-professional context. So it's a bit of a double life, bit of, it feels kind of weird sometimes jumping from work to the studio or to a gig and then back to work or... that's probably the interesting tidbit.
It's very Clark Kent taking off the glasses, and now he's a superhero.
Yep.
That's great.
In some way, yep.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
Thanks
it's been really
me.
Lovely to have you in. Unfortunately, I think we're going to have to say goodbye at this point, but definitely go check out Mannerism. They're releasing some really great music, and I'm excited to see what's coming next and to hopefully be able to find them on tour, which is going to be very exciting. We're going to go to our next song now. It's by Red City Radio, and you are listening to
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. I'm just going to give you a quick warning. This next song does have some spooky, scary, sweary words, and the song after it, for that matter. So if you're not okay with it, or it's something you're really after today, totally understand. Turn down that radio for roughly 9 minutes and join us just after, because we've got some more stuff coming. But otherwise, thank you so, so much to Shaz for coming in, and you'll catch us on the other side of the break. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard a couple incredible songs. They were My Friends Say I'm Here to Stay by Emma J. Soul featuring Zion Garcia and, oh sorry, just make sure we know it. Emma J. Soul from Sydney. Zion Garcia, an Australian rapper, producer, writer and filmmaker, does everything, makes incredible music. And before that you heard Makes Me Violent by Bob Villain. I was bobbing along to that song. It was so, so good. That's an English duo from London, and their style is a mix of OG Frime, punk rock, and hip-hop. Gotta say, big fan of that. And a song that I love, I put in there. It was Paradise by Red City Radio, and oh, it's such a banger. It is just a banger. We play nothing but bangers here. Obviously, you heard our recent interview with Mannerism. Keep an ear out for that one on our socials, because that will be going up on our podcast platforms next week. So do keep an eye out if you missed it. But we're going to talk about an artist, a pretty big artist right now, Charlie XCX. Are you familiar with them, Annabelle?
I am. I would say I don't love Charlie, but I don't hate her. I feel very neutral towards Charlie.
Well, in an interesting Subway Takes interview, Subway Takes is just an interview where someone's got like a little Zoom mic and they're just on Subway in America taking an interview. It's a nice thing. She said an interesting thing that has caught a little bit of flack and has also gotten... It's definitely started a conversation. Some people agree, some people disagree. I want to know where you sit on the entire situation, and I want to know where our listeners sit on this. I'm going to play you the first 30 seconds of this interview to give you an idea and to let you know what she says.
Music is not important.
Music is not important? 100% disagree. Wait, why?
Well, the thing is, artistry is important, and some artists don't have artistry.
Some artists don't have artistry.
For me, it's like music alone is just not giving me the world. Like, I need an artist to create the world.
The world building.
A great artist to me is more than the songs. It's the entire culture,
right,
and space that they inhabit.
It's Prince.
It's like Lou Reed.
What do we feel about that? Music is not important is a heck of an opening line.
I'm mixed. I see both sides, because I can see how maybe it comes off as a bit pretentious and a bit like, you know, artistry is more important. So I can see why people would feel like maybe, okay, also you've built your entire career being a musician, I guess you would say, as an artist, making music, to then say music isn't important. I can see why it's a divisive comment. I'm going to give Charlie XCX grace. I think I know what she's saying. I think maybe it's come out in a way. Also, I'm going in blind. I haven't had time to process this. I think I understand what she's saying, which is the song itself isn't enough. Obviously, songs are beautiful, but in her view, it's more like, you know, Prince is an icon. Bowie is an icon. I don't think she's saying she's like that. I think she's just saying that's what's so special to her about music, as kind of the artist and the entire personality. Maybe I'm misreading this. I just think that, unfortunately, she's got a really posh English accent, so it makes what she says sound a little bit maybe more pretentious.
I disagree. I think it's a very vapid statement.
Do you reckon?
Yes, I think that it is a very nothing statement, because the question that comes from it is, what is art then? What do you see as artistry? What is music? Because music and art in general, in every form that it's ever existed in, is completely subjective. So, for example, what Charlie may find to be a really deep, important song might mean nothing to you and me. But
definitely.
On the other hand, vice versa. There are songs that mean incredible amounts to me, or I find huge amounts of meaning in, that other people just don't.
But so I agree with that. But I guess I'm thinking, Like, Charlie is answering from her own opinion. She's not saying this is velour. Like, that's the thing. Charlie and I don't agree. I have a different take. But in Charlie's world, she's right. For her, music isn't important. I think everyone listens to music differently. I think, it is a little bit vapid, I will say, because you can have incredible music that's released by people who are maybe anonymous. That's beautiful, and it doesn't mean less because they have less, like, of maybe an impact on the world, like, in terms of as a celebrity. But I don't think she's saying, like, celebrityhood. I think she's just saying the meaning you put into it, and you have to have the love and the care as an artist. See, you can't just release songs without, you know, believing in them and having a vision.
There's two songs that come to mind that really stand out to me with this. Three songs, even. Two classical, one contemporary. Ooh. So, Hall of the Mountain King. For those who don't know it, it's the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And The Flight of the Bumblebees, which I am not singing because it is way too fast. Those two are classical masterpieces. They are seen nowadays as big classical pieces. Everyone knows them.
Yeah.
In the day, they were actually made for no reason. They were joke songs.
Yeah.
They have a lot of meaning to a lot of people now.
But there's still artistry in making joke songs.
But the point she's making there is that the artist has to be making the song with art in mind. If you're making the song with jokes in mind and then it changes meaning
but
later down the track, does
that
remove
that? Can a joke not
that?
Be art? You know, like, what is art? Well, not to get too meta, but I think art doesn't have to be serious. You know, art is meant to evoke a reaction, and maybe the reaction is humour. Maybe it's a joke. Maybe, yeah.
I think my last comment on this will simply be art is subjective.
It is.
Music and the meanings behind music is subjective. The contemporary example I was going to use, and I think it's still extremely important here, is The Police with Every Breath You Take. That song was obviously written from the standpoint of a stalker. However, in the last 30, 40 years, it has become one of, if not the most, I guess, overplayed love songs at things like weddings and all sorts, and completely changed meaning. I think that whilst the original artist having an intention and an ideal for a song is extremely important, I feel like the artist's original intention does not really matter after a while, as it becomes each person's intention, what they see in it and what they take from it.
See, I'm getting so excited because I studied English literature, and this is reader reception theory.
Yep.
And also the idea of authorship. And, you know, does the artist have any control of the reading of their music? Yeah, exactly, their art after it's come out. Honestly, I could sit here and talk about it for hours. I won't.
I would love to talk about this later on Friday with maybe another guest.
But maybe let us know and get serial. Sin, do you believe in reader reception theory, authorship? Who is in charge of the meaning? Is it fair for me to read a book and get a different meaning out of it than the author intended? Who's right in that situation?
How important is the context of the author in the song? Because that's huge in different conversations.
Write me a 4,000-word essay. I will be so excited. Please, I miss essays.
Or just give us a yes or no. Is music important? Yes? No? Do you think it's not important? Let us
provide your references, APA format. Thank you very much.
But something that is important is our next song, and it is a wonderful song. It is the ever-so-wonderful Ellie Shimada with Resolute. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
You just heard Resolute by Ellie Shimada, who is an incredible Australian-based Tokyo-born artist. She plays violin, she produces, I believe she DJs, she does it all. Definitely go check out more of her music. That was part of the Sin Sweet 16 playlist. It's always a fun time over there, so check them out too on Sundays at 5 p.m. on the Sunday Sweet Show.
Definitely check them out, good friends of ours. But maybe you're like me and you're thinking, well, I want some more radio. Unfortunately, we are coming to the end of our show. You can catch us on Friday, so do stick around for then. But there are plenty of other shows to check out, such as, for example, Sunday Sweets. You can check out Mosh Pit. Maybe you enjoyed Paradise by Red City Radio. If you like that, you could check them out. They play punk, rock, and metal. Maybe you want some more spicy conversations.
Mm.
You can go check that out on the Naughty Rude Show. They are wonderful up there. If you want to hear all about Aussie music without the riffraff and the faffing about that we do, which How rude. you can check out The Hoist. They do heaps of stuff like that. You can check out a good friend of ours, Ooh. Earl Grey, with Sam, for some wonderful interviews. And there's a whole bunch more shows you can check out. Maybe you want to be a part of a show, though. You can join us and come do what we do. If you enjoyed the interview before and thought, wow, Annabelle, I wanted to ask a question that you didn't ask. Well, if you were sitting in the chair, maybe
you could
be
have.
Able to.
That's on you.
If you want to do that, you can check it out at getserialsin.com/get involved to check it out. I believe that induction is still going on.
I think it's running, but not for long. So
hurry
up.
I believe it. If it is still running, I'll have to double check for you and we'll let you know Friday. I believe it's actually discounted still.
It's a major discount. Now is the time to get involved. Go to sin.org.au/get involved. Come join us. We miss you. We want you here. We want you to be leading our next interview. We could have someone very cool in. We always do.
Who knows? But with that, as we said, we are running into the end of the show and we just want to say thank you for joining us. It has been great having you in. And otherwise, check us out on Friday. Same time, same place. You've been listening to Get Serial. We have one more song to leave you off with, and it's a pretty good one. Annabelle?
Yes. The next song that we've got coming up for you is handpicked for your enjoyment. It is Make It Right by Mannerism. You heard the acoustic version. Now revel in the five-piece version.
You're listening, well, you were listening to Get Serial on Sin.